Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Liberty Southwest, and we are having another podcast, number 26. Today is September 29th. Today we have present Eric Taylor and Chelsea Camot and myself, Kirk Pettis, and the topic of tonight will be the New Earth Project and the organizational goals behind that, including micronations, sovereignty, and of course, some freedom. So, Eric, why don't you take it off? Take it from there.
Yeah, Kirk, you kind of mentioned a while ago you'd stumbled across this project, which I think you referenced off of a Higher Side Chat, which is a podcast that
with Greg Paul.
Yeah, you become a fan of that podcast over the last couple of months. And I think Greg Paul had the founder, Sasha Stone, on the podcast to kind of go over what he was trying to do.
No, Greg Carlwood is the Higher Side Chat. Greg Paul was the guy from the New Earth Project here. He is like their lawyer-type builder.
So it wasn't actually – Sasha.
It wasn't Sasha, yeah. It was Greg Paul.
Okay.
But just a little clarification.
Yep. Yep. So Greg Paul was on and kind of went over you know, what they're trying to do, which is a project based out of Bali, which aims to empower individuals with as much freedom as possible. And it sounds like, and we're talking about this before the podcast, one of the tenets is free domain, non-fiat transactions, and pretty close to free energy, powering, you know, various developments throughout Bali.
Well, one of the main things they really stress is conscience. They believe that there's a conscience awakening in mankind is growing faster, and pair that with sovereignty and awakening people to the power of their true sovereignty and the consciousness of us all just living in harmony with those around us and going against the restraints that governments put on us, that we are evolving away from this tyrannical forms of government, and we can get back to our sovereign roots through natural law and consciousness is the two main aspects. And, you know, through the consciousness is the morality of doing right amongst others and living and pursuing our own dreams to our full potential. And by having a high conscious awareness to profess the betterment of mankind, to devote your time and energy to through things like the zero point energy to free up people's times and the current technological advancements to really free up people's times to work on inventions and educational systems and just societal means of dealing with the beauty of humans on our sovereign people, that we really, through the technological advancements, really live bring humanity to, you know, a higher level than this level of life that we're being deemed with government through the debt we're being ridden with, more and more laws, the wars that we create around the world, and it's a way to escape from all this. Sorry.
What are you sorry about?
I kind of interrupted. I just wanted to stress conscience because every time you hear them talk, they really talk about the conscience aspect of it. And so, which, you know, means the morality behind it, because it's hard to, you can't claim that you're a sovereign being and go and and say that, who can tell me what to do? Who can make me do anything? And why do I have to pay the government anything when I, as a being, a conscious being, is not going around harming anyone, is being good to the planet, is just living a moral life? And so who is it by anyone else, our neighbors or government or anyone, to dictate what I have to do throughout the day to day? So it's the essence of sovereignty. And that's, of course, what piqued my interest, like you said, Eric, about the interview I heard with Greg Paul.
Yeah, it was a good interview. And, you know, I think we talked about this a little bit before the show. There is an Indiegogo project or initiative, which is similar to Kickstarter, to fund the beginning of this project, which recently ended. It came quite a bit short of what they're looking to do. And they have some decent aspirations, but you know, from a financial perspective, there doesn't seem to be as much support as they'd like. But you know, sometimes you know, you just need to keep plugging away, and you get that support. But I'm going to play a clip here. This is a promotional video that was posted on YouTube by New Earth Nation. They have a YouTube channel. If you are on YouTube and you just throw in New Earth Nation, they have about 5,000 subscribers, and they have a lot of videos. And I think Chelsea was commenting when we were talking about this, they're not all that short, 1 to 2 hours, over various sovereign ideas. But it looks like there's some good content there. So I'll go ahead and roll this clip, and we can continue discussing the New Earth Project. Here we go.
Greetings from our London hub. I'd like to explain a little of the background rationale to our thinking with the New Earth Project, and it's really quite simple. Many, if not all of us, are increasingly feeling that we're living in a world which is falsely being painted into war and disease and poverty and the ideas of scarcity. And this project is where we can effectively draw a line in the sand and register a vote of protest against big government and against overbearing bureaucracy and against the kind of small thinking which is increasingly regulating our lives and our freedoms out of existence. So please take the time to watch the video we've made and to read the presentations. We have spent years developing this particular project to a state where it is able to engage at the government level. It's able to engage at the local levels, at the levels of banking and of land acquisitions and of rolling out this new metric. We're not going to make the full journey without you, and God knows whoever you are and wherever you are, we welcome you. Thank you.
Through steadfast devotion to the gods of fear, time, and money, humankind was led to manifest a world colored by scarcity, competition, and sorrow. Project is a supranational movement which directly challenges the old order and welcomes a new planetary metric for peaceful coexistence, human sovereignty, and abundance. It invites conscious, ethical, self-determining people of the world to cooperate in establishing a global network of communities which foster human and planetary well-being and sustainability, redefining the principles that govern our lives. This is not a future dream, but a living reality, which, given the consent of the people of the world, can now be realized in thousands of communities across the globe. We have built a dedicated network of pioneers from all nations and faiths, each committed to manifesting this new reality. Our team includes many of the world's leading experts in sustainable development, permaculture, socioeconomics, quantum technologies, education and healing, and sovereignty and law. Stand with us in this great awakening as we unite in dreaming a new dream where our world transcends fear, time, and money into art, beauty, and consciousness.
Hello from Bali.
Hello. Hello.
We're getting ready to build a new Earth community right here in paradise, and we can't wait to welcome you to join us. Om Swasti Rastu.
Sambano.
Sambano.
Greetings from Mongolia. Mongolos Sesame Chichuan. We are developing a new Earth community here in the steppes of Mongolia and looking forward to greeting you here in Mongolia. Paiste.
Paiste.
Welcome to our sanctuary to Samoa, Polynesia.
Hola, familia. We are developing a new Earth community here in Costa Rica, one of the most diverse ecosystems on the planet. And we are looking forward to welcoming you. Hasta pronto. Adios.
Adios.
Hey! Hi from Sweden. This is Monica here. We are very excited to start to build a new Earth community here in Sweden in the near future. And we really welcome you to join into our beautiful project that we're building together. So happy to see you soon.
Hey,
Do.
We are planning a new Earth community right here in Meghalaya, the land where the clouds come home. And we can't wait to welcome you. Thank you.
So that's a little bit of an overview of the New Earth project. And I think, Kirk, you were talking about earlier how they're, you know, it's not just in Bali. There are communities around the world that are looking to hook in, you know, to the larger project, right?
Yeah, they're looking at pretty much anywhere, just as many people as possible. The larger the amount of people, the more weight behind it, the more attention, and the harder to stamp it out, you know, if it spreads throughout the entire world, it'd be that much harder to stamp out in a way, if it's possible to, so. But why don't I just read some about the New Earth Nation defined here, because the New Earth Nation is not seeking and will never seek recognition of status from the United Nations. It is and will always be supranational, extraterritorial, collective of sovereign men and women who by their own free will do consciously choose to live in accordance with natural law, to do no harm, and to mutually assist one another to advance their own perfection and that of the human condition. And so, I don't know, did they ever reference the treaty?
No.
I mean, that's kind of what really sparked my interest and thought it was pretty brilliant in what they're doing, is the treaty that they are.
Yeah, there are some pretty interesting things in the treaty, which are completely different from what we've come to accept in the United States, so. For example, Article 62 says, no government officer or public servant may cause harm, loss, or damage to a person and may not use a statute to justify the causing of harm, loss, or damage to a person. And, you know, we can see in the United States, if they, you know, have a search warrant, even if you're found to be completely innocent of anything that they were, you know, supposing was going on, they can completely destroy and turn your house upside down, and you have no recourse for any damages that have been caused simply by the fact that they had a suspicion. So we've kind of gotten accustomed to some of these things where we can be infringed upon by our government, and that's okay. Another one of the articles said that all criminal cases against a person, and they use the word natural person to specify the difference between an actual person and a corporation. So when they use natural person, that would be someone like you or me. And it says, all criminal cases against a natural person shall require an injured party who is also a natural person. So meaning you can't, you know, there can be no criminal case unless someone else's rights have been, you know, trampled upon. So if there is no victim, there is no crime, which I think is a pretty rational and logical way to look at the world. But if you look at, you know, the war on drugs or, you know, prostitution or any of these other things, there's a multitude of laws that we have to live by, in which case there is no victim. So,
yeah, general black market activity, right?
Well, it's not just that. It's positive law. The natural law would be you need to have another individual being harmed, and positive law is laws created by man that require more and more laws to perfect the law that's created. So that's how you get all these, the war on drugs, the war on, or laws on every little thing that we do in society that requires government intervention. And there is no harmed party in many of them. So it doesn't need to be that way. But yeah, but what I found just fascinating about this treaty is that it's so simple. It's so simple and pure that it's you can't deny it. I mean, and that's how the founding of the United States of America were founded is the same kind of treaty to where, you know, we have these unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness that's, you know, dictated or given by the Creator. And we use those principles to grant our justification for getting out of the system of a tyrannical form of government that, you know, had their hands in everything, and just to gain our own personal sovereignty instead of the sovereignty of the, as the King of England had, to where, no, we were all sovereign. And we created this sovereignty state, the United States of America, to protect the sovereign individual, and by doing so, we needed to, you know, we needed the law on our side, and our treaty was dictating the law and the reasons why we were justified in doing so, and this treaty follows the same kind of core principles. It's in a sense, it's calling on peace in the world. I think we're going to have a clip on that later. But let me just read the very beginning of this treaty. The high contracting parties, in order to promote international cooperation and achieve international peace, fellowship, security, prosperity, harmony, and abundance. One, by the acceptance of obligations not to resort to war or empower conflict. Two, by acceptance of obligations not to permit men and women to be subjected to debt slavery, usury, or any other form of human energy harvesting. Three, by the acceptance of obligations to respect the individual sovereign condition. Four, with a commitment to eradicate famine, poverty, pollution, and preventable disease. Five, by the prescription of open, just, and honorable relations between nations. Six, by the considered and strategic dissolution of all borders and boundaries. Seven, by the maintenance of natural justice and a scrupulous respect for all treaty obligations. Pursuant to the ultimate goal of absolute freedom for each member of the human family. And so that's the essence of it. And then it just goes in. It has a bunch of articles just like our Constitution in the United States has a few different parts, and the unalienable natural rights is stressed, and that is definitely what our U.S. Constitution utilizes. So,
but what makes us a little bit more powerful is that I think that they've closed a lot of the loopholes that the base framework that we had for the United States didn't necessarily set up. And I know that they wanted to leave it open and flexible, you know, so that it would withstand time. But unfortunately, over time, as this country and its government has evolved, it appears as though those loopholes have been taken advantage of, and the power of the government has become, you know, has grown more and more every day, you know, trampling upon and reducing the amount of freedoms and liberties that we have as individuals.
Yeah, I think we can save it for another podcast. We don't have to get into it, but I think it can be assumed that most people listening here would agree that our government does not follow the Constitution. So,
that's
by any
true.
Sense anymore. So that's why something like this is needed. And I highly admire that they would do something like this. And I don't think, I don't know if I agree with everything for how their projects they're setting up. Like Eric mentioned that their Indiegogo failed. Mm-hmm. I don't know if all that's necessary, but you know, it's kind of just some stuff that not knowing, not being a part of the system or their community, whatever they have going, you know, I don't know enough, but where it'd be, yeah, it'd be easy to come up with those pipe dreams to where, yeah, this is what we need to do, this is the project, and they've implemented it, and they've done, you know, they've done their homework. And the people that I have seen through other conferences, videos, I mean, they have all sorts of leading, like the clip said, of leading intellectual leaders of all various fields. And the people that are involved in this are not, they're just not slouches. I mean, they're all very well-educated, well, you know, very conscious people that know that there's something wrong with the way governments are control or are these, you know, throughout the world today. And through this essence of sovereignty and fellowship is really the core principles and what unites all these people, and that they know that we can have, that there is something to evolve to that is better than these government nation states that are constantly going to war and pitting against each other. And I mean, I believe we've grown out of that with the age of technology, with the internet. We've transcended beyond borders to where, I was just looking at it. The definition of a nation is, you know, it's mainly cultural and by race. And with how technology is evolving, there's no need anymore. We're not only is America the melting pot, but the world has become that as well in most countries, and nations are becoming more and more irrelevant. So.
Well, and one of the things that I thought was interesting that I've never seen, and you know, granted I haven't read, you know, the founding documents of every country in the world, probably to the opposite, very few, but I've never seen an attitude where the people who are setting up the government actually have a statement saying that the whole intention of the government is to reduce the people's dependence on them. So there's an article here that said, let me see if I can find it here, that the government, oh gosh, let me see. But it was basically saying that the government is there to eventually, you know, reduce or eliminate the amount that the people need them, especially when it comes to education and learning and health and wellness. So government policy and procedure should support and encourage those whom it's purposed to serve to reduce their dependency upon it in all aspects. Whereas I think that the general tendency of most governments is to enhance and grow their reach and power and jurisdiction over its people. And I think that as we come into a new age, like you said, you know, with technology and the way people from all around the world can communicate with one another that aren't part of the, you know, the governments, and they aren't part of, you know, the elites that are making the big decisions about our lives, as we connect with one another, we start to realize that the answer doesn't lie with these, you know, big governments, but it lies with one another. And I remember when I was working at a nonprofit, at one of our administrative meetings, we watched this TED Talk, and it was about the idea that, you know, historically we've believed that, you know, when it comes to resources and opportunities, that it's a fixed amount of resources and opportunities that are available to us. So we believe if someone else has a big piece of the pie, or bigger than ours, that essentially, you know, they've taken part of what should be, you know, belonging to us, as opposed to saying, well, what happens if we work together, and instead of worrying about who has how much of the pie, instead, why don't we work on making the pie itself bigger? You know, it's not like resources and opportunities are a stagnant fixed number, but instead something that we can expand and grow upon. You know, so like when they talk about this idea of scarcity and focus on how limited everything is, if we work together, we can come up with amazing things. I mean, the fact that we can even harness electrons to essentially do our bidding and run our cell phones, and we have, you know, light in our homes, it's amazing what people are capable of when we're empowered to do so. And so if we keep focusing on scarcity and the things that we can't do, we're really limiting ourselves from coming up with the solutions that will really save our planet and all of existence.
The fear aspect.
Or the profit motive.
Or the profit motive, yeah. And well, and fear, you know, supports that profit.
Yeah.
You know, if we believe the only way that we can get around and live our lives is through, you know, machines that require oil, then that's the frame of mind we're going to operate under. And then it's okay for, you know, us to buy into the system instead of seeking alternatives.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of, we're talking about this before the podcast. That's one of the pillars of the New Earth Project is the fact that energy really should be abundant and nearly free, rather than, you know, having a society dependent largely on petro energy, and you know, we can eventually get to a clip that kind of goes over zero point energy, which is a Tesla technology. So it's certainly not a new topic, but you know, energy is all around us. It's, you know, abundant on the planet, on the universe, and projects like the New Earth Project that focus on making that abundant resource available to everyone for as cheaply as possible. In my mind, you know, it's just going to happen eventually. You know, you're going to have, you know, everyone will and should have cheap, if not free, access to various forms of energy.
I think we'll see in our lifetime. But
I mean, I think the hardest thing to overcome, though, is the vested interests that try and make sure that that isn't possible. So, I mean, I think that, you know, whether we're talking about energy or whether, you know, we're talking about war, you know, when you have something that's very profitable and people in a position of a lot of power, you know, whether it's, you know, people who make billions of dollars off of, you know, us being in war or, you know, other countries being in war, or whether you're talking about the people who make their money off of the, you know, petro energy. The hard thing is going to be that there will be ramifications if we try as individuals to move away from that. You know, people don't relinquish power without a fight. You know, so I guess the thing that I would be concerned about is what would we see? What kind of reactions would we see, you know, if we start to make progress?
Well, that's why I think this treaty is so powerful, because the treaty is, you know, states that, you know, we are not going to interfere with another person's living sovereign and do no harm, loss, or damage, not to impose our wills, our will on others, and to live in accordance with natural law. So what you guys were talking about the profit motive, but it's not only the profit motive, it's the desire of control. And that's the sense of, you know, the power of control, which tends to have the control of the profits as well. So it's, and that's just the antithesis of what this treaty is to imposing your, you know, the government's will upon others. And by doing so, they're doing harm, they're making losses, and they're damaging. And so that's why it's so powerful. If a million people signed up to sign in for this treaty, to where the amount of numbers could feasibly just start growing exponentially, to where people would wake up to that form of, you know, why do I want to live in a government that has this power over me, that's doing all this harm to people and throughout the world, and the control that they have in our own country, that it's that hopefully would counteract it by just the amount of numbers that we could have as sovereign people if people had the awakening to it.
There's certainly strength in numbers, but I mean, I guess, and I'm just a little bit, what I would be nervous about, and of course, I genuinely appreciate the fact that this is, you know, a nation, or, you know, the New Earth Nation, and the different communities are supportive of peace as opposed to war, which is wonderful. However, it begs the question, what kind of a risk and vulnerability is present in that kind of a society? I mean, would it leave people exposed for outsiders to be able to come in and take over?
They deal with that through part of the treaty is that you will go and help your other fellow sovereigns in any time of need. So if all of a sudden war was called on one of the sovereign members, then it's like declaring war on all of us. So
yeah, but the problem with that is, you know, you have sovereign members, but they, you know, is even look at the Indiegogo project. They didn't get any cash. And, you know, you have a, you know, a small ragtag group of individuals who are looking to set up a free society based off of, you know, technologies that haven't really been proven in the field for the most part. And if they're a threat to other vested interests, and they have, let's face it, in order to buy protection, armed protection, you need money. And, you know, with a, you know,
I don't think that Indiegogo is a pure representation of the money of the people that are involved. I think it's more
they were
of
looking
a,
to
a
use
testing
that
point
as,
to see the were, popularity there, out there and get people involved. But
they were using that as a mechanism to basically start their first project.
Yeah.
And they didn't get a lot of support. So, no.
But like I'd never heard of it until it was after closed. I mean, so sure. It's...
Right. It could be lack of exposure, certainly.
Yeah,
because I hadn't
variables.
Heard of it before.
Yep.
However, but I mean, but if we say, okay, let's say it is successful and millions of people start flocking to this, Just because there are, you know, millions of people involved, if it is a peaceful society, which I love and admire, but I still have to ask the practical question, what kind of vulnerability then is there? You know, once, and I would say that, you know, they're probably pretty safe if they are unpopular, or if it's just small little pockets of people, that's not much of a threat to the existing, you know, status quo. That's not a threat to the powers and monies that be. But it's when they do get larger in number, and people start separating themselves from the economies where they're currently contributing and start participating in this New Earth Nation, that it really becomes a threat. And when that threat does arise, even if there are millions of people involved, if they don't have, you know, nuclear weapons or armies or navies, can they defend themselves? I mean, or is it saying, hey, you know, let's all just be very peaceful and assume that no one will ever attack us.
Well,
if we really become successful.
What would be the gain of someone causing war against a sovereign individual?
Well, the gain,
or
well,
just
it
going
would be
and
a lack
killing
of loss. I would say instead of a gain, it would be a lack of loss. Because right now, if I am participating, a lack of loss. So if I decide to stay in the United States for the rest of my life and not participate in the New Earth Nation, I'm generating a significant amount of, you know, tax revenue and GDP throughout that time. And I'm valuable to people other than myself, people who benefit from me being a consumer in this economy. And if I decide to take myself out of that economy, then the amount of taxes that are raised, the amount of power that can be had, the amount that I'm, you know, using oil, all of those things get taken away. So instead of them having as much power and money over as many people as they used to, if people start flocking out of it, their profits go down.
Yeah, but and how are they going to make these people do it? Are they going to, it would just expose it and it would, more people would flock to the cause, because how they couldn't make you go work then, or what are they going to do, throw you in prison to where that's actually a cost anyways too. So
tyranny could happen. I mean, I'm not ruling it out. Who's to say that they couldn't just walk in and say, you know what, we were letting you believe that you were voluntarily participating, but now that you want to leave, here's the deal. You don't have a choice. And this is how it's going to go from now on.
Well,
I mean, we've seen
that's the choice
the history
you have
of the world.
Make.
I don't believe that is, you know, never going to happen again, or couldn't possibly happen again. For us to believe that, I think would be short-sighted.
No, I just don't see people being like, well, all right, I give up. You win. Take me away. Or, you know, I'm going to go, all right, I'm going back to work and paying my taxes or whatever. If I just... It would be a lose-lose situation for the government to ever, I mean, it would just expose to what they do already.
Oh, I'm not just talking about, you know, our government or the U.S. government or the United States in general or United States companies. I'm just saying, you know, the unfortunate part about doing the right thing and being a peaceful society and saying we don't want to participate in this war and aggression needlessly. We want to collaborate with one another, and we want to be better than this, and we don't feel like it's necessary to wage war. The only unfortunate part of that is that unless everybody in the world is on board, it does leave you exposed to the possibility that somebody else might be interested in war, and you've now left yourself vulnerable.
Well, that's the given in any situation, though. So maybe that'd be a good prelude into that piece clip, Eric.
The clip that you
I just
me.
Yeah, I did.
Let's see here. I'm having some mouse issues. Okay. So
I guess, Chelsea, you just have to be, you know, having faith in how things will turn out. I believe the world is good. I believe humanity's overall good, and that the reality around us is constructed by us, and that we construe our own realities through our consciousness and our creation. And I just, the fear and doubt and everything creates those ideals or the circumstances of doubt that would only just hinder projects such as these, I guess. That, I mean, it's like the rule of when you come up with a business idea and you tell everyone you know about it, over 90% of the people are going to tell you why that won't work. And the entrepreneurs of the world are the ones that go out there and prove that it will, because they have a vision, and you can't create a reality without doing it. And, you know, so
I guess my experience was kind of different. I felt like everybody told me it would be a great idea. And then I just wasn't sure if they were telling me that because they knew me personally, you know, like, Chelsea, that's a great idea. Why don't you do that? It'll be perfect. There's such a need for it, you know? But you never know if it's going to work until you actually take the chance and you take the risk and you put yourself out there. And, you know, and I'm not saying that I'm, you know, opposed to this idea at all. As a matter of fact, I think that it demonstrates, and strengthens my faith in everyday people, because, I feel like people are awakening to the fact that just because things have been done a certain way for, you know, X amount of time doesn't mean that we have to continue to do them that way. Doesn't mean it's the best way to do things. And the idea, you know, that power has to be up at the top and, you know, we as individuals can't really say or do much to determine our own destiny or fate or everyday lives, and is an antiquated notion. And unfortunately, we haven't had a good system for dissolving this. You know, we haven't had a good system for dissolving, you know, war and corruption. And I do agree with you. I think that most people are good-hearted and they don't seek or strive to cause harm to others. So I think it's really inspiring to see, you know, a collection like this all across the world in several different countries of people saying, we want to be better. We want to do it differently. We're challenging the status quo because the status quo is garbage.
Yeah, well, it reminds me of back during the Revolutionary War when England was debating about what to do with America, how we were declaring our independence. And I can't recall who it was, but one of the leaders at the time, one of the lords over there, was like, we cannot go to war with America because they all know law. And so what is a nation? You have a, let's say, a military, and it's in the protection of the law of the country. And we were utilizing the natural law that was being developed over time through things like the Magna Carta and getting away from the ideals of service to a king, and that just by being born in a nation, you are a servant to the king and everything the king owns. So they didn't want to go to war with them. The recommendation of this guy was telling the king not to go to war with America because they sold more law books to America than all of England. I want to say it was something like 6-1 books were being sent to America and pretty much or the colonies at the time. To where that was what everyone was studying is the law and the natural law, and that's what gave us the power to declare independence and the mindset of escaping a tyranny, and for other people to not say, oh, we have the military, we can just kill them. We can stomp them out. We're the world superpower. No, it was they know the law, and the law is reasonable and people are good and moral to mostly, and where the natural law, if taught right and explained and in people's consciousness, will create things such as this sovereignty and sovereign nation, since this is what how the our country has been dissolving away into more and more control, more and more of a socialist government, anything, nothing of the sort of what it was founded upon. So I think this is kind of the future, and like we're seeing today, we've been bombing Iraq for Europe and America's been bombing Iraq for what, 100 years now? So why don't you play that clip, Eric?
All right, tell me when to stop. I'll play
it. All right.
To do, because for the first time in the history of our recorded history of our planet, we the people are being asked to sign a peace treaty ourselves, so that we put ourselves in a position where we're saying we don't want perpetual war anymore. We're declaring peace. And we have every bit as much right to declare peace as you did, because you're the self-chosen rulers. We didn't choose you. You came in here and you did all of these things. So we're going to declare peace so that we have the opportunity to be able to get in there and do this in a different way by declaring peace. And then how are we going to hold the agents responsible? Because, you know, you have to realize it's a big old boogeyman out there if you just deal with the corporations. But if you tie it down and you say, okay, we just have to do this, whatever is in front of us, one piece at a time, whatever is ours to do, we don't have to take on the whole world. We just have to take on our traffic ticket or our child support enforcement that is as illegal and unlawful as is possible to be, but we have to understand what's really going on down under there. And that's really what we're doing. We're just simply saying,
Yeah, that was Rebecca Cope. She's part of the...
Is she a part of
the New Earth Project?
So she is, okay.
Yeah.
So what were you trying to...
It wasn't as... I thought it went into more detail, but I just think it's... Yeah, this treaty is... It's not only declaring our independence, but it's declaring peace to the nations of the world, saying, you know, we just want no part of the war. We don't want to... We don't like you to consider us an enemy of the state while all we are doing is living a peaceful and just and a conscious and life through fellowship of our humankind. And how can you argue against that? So it's
fairly revolutionary to suggest that an individual of the world could sign a peace treaty towards the rest of the world. I mean, I've never heard of anything like that before. For example, if I go as an American to another country, they'll associate the actions of our government with me as an individual, thinking that I wanted this war or I wanted these actions to occur. And it negatively reflects upon my intentions and my desires when they weren't anything that I ever wanted. And so the idea that as people of the earth that we can speak to each other and make promises to each other and we don't need the government to speak for us or act on our behalf is pretty revolutionary.
I find it to be so.
Yeah, it seems to me, I mean, when you're talking about something like the New Earth Project, you're really talking about, you know, human civilization evolving into, you know, out of a philosophy where war and strength and conflict is a way to, you know, settle disputes into voluntary and peaceful cooperation. And, you know, I don't know that, you know, society as a whole has reached that level. But, you know, if you give it enough time, eventually, you know, to me that's, you know, it seems to be the next logical step. But you have, you know, you really are battling elements of human nature that have been, you know, around for as long as, you know, people have been around, and getting away from that, it's probably pretty difficult.
Yeah, it's definitely, that's why the conscience aspect is so powerful, where it's without people with the conscience level to realize self-realization of that, of being sovereign and to claim your sovereignty, it's dangerous to do so without the respect of natural law and the respect of other sovereigns and other individuals in the world of that, yeah, I am going to be a peaceful person.
People are violent creatures, barbaric, violent creatures.
Yeah, you know. I thought I brought it up maybe on a podcast previously, but it goes back to the question where if we could tomorrow wake up and go back to the principles of the Constitution, you know, wake up with more of a libertarian, let's just say a utopia government, you know, would you want that? And, you know, without the consciousness of individuals around you to that level, you know, of people in the United States or whatever nation you would reference as, it would, that can't be acquired. I mean, it wouldn't last. It wouldn't be feasible. I mean, and so there has to be a shift in the mindset, and it's just very disheartening for the fear and tactics that are being thrown at us lately with the terrorism and the happenings in other nation states.
Do you think that we are seeing a shift in people's mentalities towards ownership and power? I mean, one thing, so when you look at Generation Y, I mean, there's a lot of things that they get a bad rap for. But there are other things that we're starting to see come out of this generation that are, you know, similar to these lines. They would rather take a job that pays them less than one that is working for a company that they don't respect, you know, or you're seeing more and more of these different companies that have the sharing culture, you know, so it's, I don't need a car for me to own it all the time. I can, you know, use a car and share a car part of the time, you know, so you're starting to see this change in the culture that's more towards sharing and cooperation and collaboration and being involved in and putting energy towards things that are meaningful to us.
I think that's changing with the abundance of information and, you know, peer feedback and, you know, objective analysis and reviews. So if you talk about Generation Y, they're certainly more comfortable in that environment, you know, being, you know, you can call them almost digital natives where they're comfortable, parsing and, you know, finding, you know, true sources of information. So, you know, as time goes on, you know, just being able to share ideas, information, feedback in a non-top-down, it's almost like a bottom-up type of way, I would imagine, you know, give it time, will lend itself to more cooperative, peaceful outcomes.
Yeah, I agree with Chelsea that how you've been saying that, you know, there's been this shift in people doing that. But at the same time, I think our media and our you know, nations are trying to pour more fear down amongst us at the same time. And I think that's their last stand. It's the only way they know how to fight back right now and to try and stomp out this mindset of people not needing government to tell them what, you know, to dictate to their lives. But
they're losing that ability, you know, because communication is no longer top down. It's organic. It's, you know, individual to individual rather, you know, rather than the dialogue being controlled by traditional media outlets. You know, so that's, that's changing. And, you know, that really could lend to, you know, more cooperative organizations going forward. But the thing about it is that, you know, even if you talk about governments, they always are trying to, or corporations or whatever, they're trying to influence the dialogue. So they have, you know, they have paid individuals who are interjecting their opinion in you know, individual conversation. So they're trying to skew whatever you're talking about towards their interests. So they're always, you know, that's always there. But I really think that a lot of people are, you know, their BS filter is to such an extent where they're able to decipher, you know, what's, you know, real information versus what, you know, to a certain extent is corporate or government propaganda.
Well, let me ask you some, you guys. So we talked about the profit motive. So how would you combat that? If you need to erase the profit motive from a mindset, would you need to have these communes that this New Earth Nations are trying to build, to where you got relatively free energy, you live in areas that utilize technology to produce food, and they want to, and they focus heavily on education, so it's, and developing new, you know, just inventive, energetic people to, yeah, just prosper in life, utilize nature to be more harmonious, to strengthen your own mind, to increase your creativity, to, you know, is that the best way to get rid of that profit-driven mindset, to where you're just, I mean, it's so foreign in a way as Americans to just think that, well, yeah, I need, you know, I work just to do what I want to do in life.
My personal opinion, and you guys may have seen Wall Street, I think greed is good. It drives innovation. You often find, even though rich individuals are, you know, sometimes can be much maligned, they give back to society. The true innovators, entrepreneurs, engineers, they give back to society in a significant way. You know, those people are generally, you know, genuinely rare people. So if you, the best system, and, you know, you can talk about sovereign systems as far as the New Earth Project or other systems. In my mind, the best system is a free market capitalist system that genuinely rewards innovators and entrepreneurs and individuals who set the conversation and implement, you know, ideas into actual products. That's the best way that's the best way to move society forward. And, you know, you obviously, you want government in place to prevent monopolies, oligopolies, that type of thing from stunting the entrepreneur.
But what's happened.
What you have government in place
utilize,
for.
That's why we have things like the petrodollar. And
right, but
I'm just being devil's advocate here. Because
I know you're being devil's advocate.
That's what threw me off on this New World Nation.
You know, largely, the reason why the petrodollar is in place, especially in the United States, this is the freest market that's ever existed. If there's a better technology that utilizes energy or productivity in a better way than natural gas or oil or kerosene or other, you know, fossil fuels, it would gain traction.
Let me ask you something real quick. But if greed is good, would you not want to stomp out any innovation that would prevent you from making the money and the control you have
If you look at truly entrepreneurial sectors of the economy, and right now one of the best examples is Silicon Valley and the mobile markets, the information technology markets. There is you can have startups that quickly dominate entrenched and oftentimes do dominate entrenched large corporate interests. and they get, you know, they get funding from venture capitalists, and these people who fund these smaller outfits who oftentimes, you know, are started by entrepreneurs or serial entrepreneurs, they do very well for themselves. So there, I mean, there are, you know, entrenched interests that try to, you know, obviate or take out threats, but oftentimes that just doesn't work.
Yeah, so, but I just, well, I think well, that's a wholly different economy than a resource base that Silicon Valley is just a whole different new entity that I don't think has, that they even know what to do with yet.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, and we can tie it from Silicon Valley, which is a very new age thing, but we can also tie it back to understanding that we are animals concerned with our survival and the survival of our families. And as much as we do care about our neighbors and we do care about the world and we do care about the state of affairs for everyone, at the end of the day, we are going to be very focused on our own survival, and we need incentives to produce and to create. Yep. You know, there's a certain amount of creation that comes about naturally out of passion and interest. But in order to create some of the, you know, more astounding developments that benefit humankind, a lot of times the most successful situation is where people are truly motivated by survival to do so, you know, and truly motivated by some sort of personal benefit. And just because it's not 100% altruistic doesn't mean that it doesn't create a greater good for everyone. You know,
well,
so
that's
because I'm not doing it out of the kindness of my heart doesn't mean that I haven't made the world a better place.
Yeah, well, that's why I brought this up, because that always just threw me back a little on the New Earth Nations aspect of trying to, you know, just kind of what we're talking about. Get rid of the profit motive, I guess, in a way.
Profit motive.
That kind of goes against what we all kind of feel. I mean, we're definitely more conservative libertarians here, but that's why I'm just saying it. Maybe that's just our conscious and mindset that if we lived in a community where we didn't have to worry about our survival, that maybe that would lift our consciousness to a new heights, into new technology, to new limits of what Sancho Stone always talks about, if you listen more of his. And I don't think that they're totally opposed to that either, but I think...
But what do you do about the non-contributing members of society, though? I mean, and this is...
No, they're not removing themselves from society. They're just...
But I'm saying, like, in communism, you know, if we say, you know, nobody ever has to worry about going hungry and nobody ever has to worry about not having a roof over their head and everybody gets the same and it doesn't matter, then what's to stop me from just laying around all day and not contributing anything to society? I mean, I understand on a philosophical level that I should want to, and I do want to, and I would want to, but we can't assume that all of society is going to continue to function if someone can lay around all day and still receive the same benefits as somebody who works their tail off to try and make the world a better place for other people.
Well, that's just... because everyone's different. I mean, that's kind of the whole point, is that some people would want to do that, that some people's minds just can't stop, that they need to go invent, they need to get their hands dirty, that's what, you know, gives them the opportunity to not have to worry about their profit motive, to just go out there and invent.
Or they just like doing
that's kind
what
of
they're,
their point
they're
of
genuinely some, interested in. You know, the most successful people you'll find in almost any profession, without fail, they just love what they're doing. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was what Einstein didn't do it for the money, or, you know, go through, or Tesla. These people didn't do it for the money. The money just came with it. But, and so that's why the profit motive, yeah, it's good, but it's not the answer. And, you know, greed at the same time, where it can interfere because of the way the government and the system set up to where they can stomp out other individuals. And that's kind of goes back to the premise of back to this treaty and how to get rid of that to where it can still coincide I mean, there's no reason why you can't have a free market with this treaty and still, you know, and that's essentially what it is. It's going back to a truer free market, not this controlled, fake free market dictated or placed upon us that, you know, supposedly we live in America here, but in the world, but it is very much a controlled, contrived situation that we find ourselves in. So, but there's always other people doing stuff like, you know, Silicon Valley, new things that, you know, it's the old guard has a trouble trying to find ways to control and manipulate. And, but, you know, it's the system that, by watching those videos and the books that I've read, system is very corrupt. And so I just love to see this treaty out there. And
if this fails,
I hope there's something else that comes behind it. I just don't see why it can't really work.
Where is that treaty? You're referencing a treaty.
The treaty?
Yeah.
It's on their website, the newearthnation.org.
Yeah. And off of there,
if you go just to their homepage, I think it's at the bottom, you can see. I'll go to the homepage.
It's at the bottom?
Yeah, otherwise just Google New Earth Nation.
Yeah, it took me a long time to find it the first time I was at their website. I was like, where is this treaty?
Yeah.
where is it here? No, if you go under
newearthnation.org/new-earth/new-earth-treaty.html.
Okay. Just go to New Earth Nation, the homepage, and go under broadcast. And there, they got videos there, and at the bottom is click here to view the newer treaty. That's the easiest way I know.
Click here to... Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
And that probably the path that Chelsea is talking about. Yep.
Yep. And then there's just a ton of information on that area to go through of the treaty, the trust, the newer nation, you know.
It's almost like
definitions.
You know, this is almost like the Constitution in a way.
Yeah, that's what I was referencing earlier. Yeah, it prints, I think, to 11 pages or something like that if you were to print it all out.
Yeah.
And last I heard, they were actually changing one part of it. No, maybe I think they already did because they said they were changing just to two parts. And, yeah, it is just two parts right now. So I have yet to read through the entire thing. I get distracted and want to go dive down into some other rabbit hole. But it's it's very interesting, and it's
inspiring to see.
Squirrel! Yeah.
You know, taking it upon themselves to take personal responsibility for their actions and their, you know, their place in the world.
Yeah, it's my life was just ceased to exist, and like I felt hopeless. I would definitely try to move to Bali right now and get a part of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I don't see why we can't do it here. Not be able to do it wherever you are in the world.
Yeah.
Well, they have one in the U.S. already. I believe it's down in Mississippi or Alabama or something.
It's tough to say. I know they got people all over the world, and
Alabama,
I don't know if they have. I know
Virginia.
That they were trying to get up these law schools, and that would be these law academies that over the, online, kind of like how Ron Paul set up his school system in a way to where you go online, you take these classes, and it'll teach you how to be a sovereign individual, to utilize your sovereign inherent rights. To be a nation of yourself and to, you know, probably to teach you all about this treaty even more, you know, and how to utilize it and how to argue for and against and to wherever you live. But it's all coming very soon and slow at the same time is what they say. They move to their own boat, so their own tide.
I like the idea. I like the Tula, Mexico, North Nation location. That wouldn't be too bad. So, like Chelsea was saying, The treaty URL is www.newearthnation.org/new-earth/new-earth-treaty.html. You know, sometime we should probably put together show notes for some things, but
that'd be fun. Best no. way I would say is just look up newertreaty.org or newearthnation.org.
Yeah. So with that,
it's fun to put something together like this if we had to someday.
Yep.
I mean, the amount of that's why we can't really say that this is some dysfunctional moneyless group. There seriously, as you can just by looking at the websites, the videos, everything that's been done is years and years of labor put into this.
Right.
So,
well, it's you know, it's to me it's a society that's it's an advanced society or you know advanced form of civilization where most of humanity just it's not there yet. It'd be good to be there now, but it's more you know towards the future than can consist of some a smaller set of enlightened, voluntary, altruistic individuals who want to participate in this form of society. But on a global scale, how many people do you really think would actually participate in something like the New Earth Nation?
I don't know. I really don't care.
Yeah.
This is why I consider the group. I consider it all professional people.
Sure.
That have worked their lives, that were a part of a profession. They made their money and they retired early and went and, they just got sick of the rat race.
So it's like John Galt.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to put it. I believe all these people were successful at their jobs and just quit and went and joined this movement.
So
that's the way I look at it.
Ayn Rand type of society, basically.
Yeah, in Bali.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm freaking going.
Oh, and you're done. All right. All right, Kirk.
Maybe
you
Jason
wrap it up?
Lewis is there now. Who knows?
he's got Galt.io. It could be Galt.io/North Nation. So, all right. You want to wrap it up, Kirk?
Yeah. It's been, hopefully, you guys enjoyed it tonight. The newer treaty, check it out. And it's been fun. This has been Liberty Southwest with Eric Taylor, Chelsea Camo, and Kirk Pettis. Good evening, good night.
Good night.
Good night.